A reading from the Gospel of John. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no work can be done. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed, and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Who is he?" He said, "I do not know." "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. You know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us." And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace in the name of God the Father and God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ. My sisters and brothers, as I look around this room at all the empty pews and survey the altar stripped of the blessed bread and the sanctified wine, I can assure you that when this season of Lent is over, not a single one of you will be lost for words when you are asked, "What did you give up for Lent this year?" In a paradoxical way, we have given up our shared time of community in this space for the sake of our church community and the sake of our larger community to limit the spread of COVID-19, the body of Christ giving itself up for the greater good. I know this is painful, but let me comfort you with the thought that there is truly something holy and sacramental about what we are doing here today, or rather, not doing here today. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. These words, of course, come from perhaps the most beloved and famous hymn in the Christian world. They are based partly on today's gospel lesson. Amazing grace. Surely we could use some of that now. We feel lost and blindsided by the events of the past few weeks. Our lives as we know them have been dramatically changed, perhaps forever. The seemingly sure social and economic foundations that we stood on now feel like shifting sand under our feet. And above all, we are uncertain about our own health and the health of those of our loved ones. If only we could see into the future, if only we could gaze beyond this troubled moment, it feels as if we are now stuck in the darkest of places. So dark our ability to see beyond the depressing headlines of the day is truly impaired. Our world has closed in on us. For many of us, our world has condensed to the four walls of our homes. Our vision has been impaired. We do suffer from a form of blindness this morning. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus encounters a man born blind from birth. While walking through the streets of Jerusalem, Jesus has been in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Tabernacles. This grand event is celebrated every year, a few days after Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the holiest day in the Jewish year. It comes in late September or early October to celebrate the recently taken in harvest. It is a celebration of God's continuing provision for his people, just as he provided for them as they traveled in the wilderness. It is traditional to observe the holiday by building little tent-like structures, enclosed, very small structures called tabernacles, where the people will live for several days to commemorate the makeshift shelters that people lived in as they traveled with Moses across the desert. During this time, Jesus is at the feast. It was celebrated in another unique way by the temple authorities. Four large pillars were set out in the temple courtyard. On each large pillar was set a bowl of burning oil. The temple courtyard was illuminated, and the light from the Temple Mount, it is said, illuminated every courtyard of every home in the city of Jerusalem. These great illuminations served as a symbol of the glory of God and a reminder to the people of how God guided them through the wilderness as a pillar of fire and smoke, evidence of God's desire to lead them through the wilderness and to forge the people of Judea and Israel into a beloved community. Almost immediately upon his arrival in Jerusalem, Jesus causes controversy by declaring openly to the public, in the midst of the glowing light from the temple, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness again, but will walk in the light." The symbolism of Jesus' words in the glow of the temple pillars of light was not lost on the authorities. They made it clear that whoever followed Jesus would be cast out of the synagogue, thrown out of the community. Tradition had it that the Messiah would appear during the Feast of the Tabernacles. Jesus' presence and his words were causing quite a stir, and it is in this context that Jesus restores sight to a man born blind from birth. I find it fascinating that the man at no time asked Jesus for the restoration of his sight. I can only imagine what it would have been like to be a blind person in first century Palestine. Yet it would seem that the man somehow had developed his own coping skills. I speak in great ignorance about this. I have never been blind, but I've met a few blind people, and they do seem to have astounded me by their heightened skills in other areas, by the compensation of other senses. Indeed, the blind man this morning, after Jesus puts the paste of mud and water on his eyes, finds his way to the pool of Siloam all by himself without any assistance. He has found a way to cope. But nonetheless, the controversy, the real point of the problem the blind man was facing, lies in the discussion that the disciples were having. They were arguing amongst themselves who sinned, the blind man or his family. He and his family were judged to be social pariahs, cast outs, because of a misunderstanding, of a thought that they had sinned. Jesus restores the man's vision, certainly in the earthly sense, the worldly sense. He can see with his eyes. But Jesus restores the man's vision, more importantly, in a spiritual sense. He ultimately sees Jesus for who he is, the Christ of God. And in doing so, he is united with Christ and through Christ to the Father in heaven. His Son and the Father and the whole community. He is now part of the beloved community. The man is no longer a pariah, no longer looked down upon as unworthy or inferior. He sees himself as God always saw him, even in his physical blindness, his dear and beloved child. He is restored community. These dark times in which we live may paradoxically be an opportunity for us to see the light of Christ ever more clearly. As the pillar of fire and smoke led the people of Israel day by day through the dark wilderness they found themselves in, let us commit ourselves in this time to following the light of Christ day by day. As the distractions of this world are removed from us, we should focus more clearly on that which has always been the most important, loving God with all our heart, loving our neighbors as ourselves, and loving ourselves and nurturing ourselves in this time. My brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a time to dedicate ourselves to become people of prayer, to nurture ourselves in God's healing presence and quiet contemplation, and to pray for the needs of our church family and the larger community, because prayer does change things. This is a time to rededicate ourselves to be people of the Word and immerse ourselves in the study of Scripture, finding comfort and direction in its pages. It is a time to practice contemplative reading of Scripture, Lectio Divina, and to truly hear what God has to say to us in His holy word. This is a time to rededicate ourselves to building up each other and to bear each other's burdens and to be the body of Christ for one another. In juxtaposition to the temple authorities whose rules divided people and COVID-19, which seeks to break down community, we are called to foster community. We cannot take communion here in this place today, but we can be community for each other. We are the elements this morning of the broken body of Christ, to be distributed in love to each other. We must be physically isolated, but I would say we do not need and should not be socially isolated. Consult the church directory. Call and email each other. Encourage each other. Pray for one another. Continue to participate in our online offerings. Send cards and notes. Bring light and love to each other in the name of Christ our Lord. And may the light of Christ continue to illuminate our lives. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that you are never overcome by darkness. Even in the darkest night, it becomes as bright as the brightest day with your presence. Thank you that as we walk with you, learning to walk in your way, seeking your divine presence in our lives, moment by moment, this darkness we presently know will dissipate, and the night around us will be like day once again.